All right, then. Well, hey, it's Brock.
And Adele.
And we are at the Apgar campground in the group camp section.
In Middle Earth.
Glacier National Park.
Welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Aaron Flores.
And I'm Lisa Nims, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, bike fun.
Today in the studio, we have with us the very only, but that is grammatically incorrect. That's twice I've done that in as many episodes. I tried to introduce Tim Mooney as, the one and only Tim Mooney? And I said something totally different. Anyways, we have Carl Larson from the BTA. Carl,
hello.
How's it going?
I should say that I'm not here as a Bicycle Transportation Alliance representative, but that is my day job.
That is your day job, yeah. But the opinions expressed by Carl Larson are not necessarily endorsed by the BTA.
Right.
So I think Brock booked you sometime in advance. We had some discussion earlier about, so what are we going to talk about today?
Ages ago. It was pre-Pedalpalooza even. It seems like another whole other time. Yeah.
Because that's how we mark time here in Portland.
Right.
Before and after the year's Pedalpalooza.
Yeah. The only other time I've been on here was to talk about work. Talk about Bicycle Transportation Alliance stuff. So it's a relief to be here to talk about, can I say things that are fun? Is that does that imply that work isn't fun?
That almost applies it. But that also means I would have to infer that bike or that the BTA isn't fun. So it goes both ways. And also with us, guest Lisa Nims, co-worker and friend of mine. I had you sort of pinch hit as our co-host.
Yes.
Lisa, how's it going?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you. I'm nervous.
She's good at pinching and she's good at hitting so far.
So far. Doing all right. I had you in because I think the whole living simply aspect is something that you do very well.
Oh, thank you.
Opinion.
Thank you.
You would bring a unique perspective to that. And not just because you're the only female in the room.
Thanks for that. Yeah, great.
It's mighty big of you.
Thank you.
It's too kind.
Should we just get right into talking about what we're drinking right now?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm most curious about what you're drinking.
I'm most curious about what I'm about to drink.
It's the smallest and most curious thing in the room.
So
that is so true for Aaron all the time.
Oh, who's nervous now?
Oh,
I should also mention we have the doors open here
because
it is freaking hot.
It's not cold.
It is. Yes, it is quite the opposite of cold. In fact, I'm taking off another layer here, folks.
Uh-oh.
And the noises you may hear are from the Independent Publishing Resource Center Portland Zine Symposium Zine Prom, which I believe is space-themed.
It is space-themed this year, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what themes it's been in previous years.
I don't know.
But we'll be seeing people. Well, you listeners won't be seeing anything. But but we will be seeing people coming back and forth because our studio is right across from the bathroom.
Oh, the convenience.
Oh, perfect.
So,
that'll be exciting.
Yeah, we've already had like two people come and just kind of give us the odd eye here. So what am I drinking? This is a thing called hop soda that they were serving over at Apex, which is just up the street from us, where we all had a burrito together.
We did.
Well, we had it at Apex, but I should say the burritos were from
Los Gorditos.
Los Gorditos.
Yeah.
Yes. But anyway, so this is a hop soda. Carl, earlier you commented on the surprisingly low amount of ingredients
mm-hmm.
in this. There are 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 ingredients. And it took me that long to count them.
So what's the verdict? What does soda flavored by hops taste like?
Huh. It's kind of got a weird citrusy taste to it.
It says it has citric acid, right?
Well, that is true. So maybe that's that. Yeah.
I think I hear some prom in the background.
There is some prom in the background.
Okay, can I try some of this hop soda?
Oh, please. Right. Tell me what this tastes like. Because I'm at a loss for how to describe this. Pass it around. Oh. let's just get everybody's
it's
impression.
It's subtle.
Of this.
It's almost like... I think what it tastes like to me is
some...
Oh, I like
that. Now I'm going to have one more.
It tastes like a fake sugar to me, like a weird aftertaste to the sugar. Like
kinda
it's
like
a sugary
that,
drink, uh-huh. but it's got some other weird kind of
kind of like stevia, how like
yeah.
stevia is really sweet to start off with, but just has a strange finish.
Yeah, that's kind of what's going on with this, but not in quite as objectionable a way.
No, it's good. I like it.
Yeah. Classy looking can as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd buy this again. What was it, like $2? Well, okay, maybe I wouldn't buy it for $2.
It's like 8 ounces. Yeah, 8.4.
Oh! 8.4. That .4 is well worth it.
And what have you got?
I am drinking Captured by Porches Brewing Company Red Rye.
Captured by Porches being a...
local brew.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're from St. Helens. Yeah. But they also have a little spot in St. John's here in North Portland. I've never had the Red Rye before. I'm going to be honest, it's not my favorite.
Ooh.
But it's still good, and the bottle is beautiful. And when I return it, I will get $1 back.
Oh,
and Aaron paid for this, so...
Actually, the sprocket paid for. Well, actually, we'll tell you who paid for this at the end of the show.
Oh, perfect. Well, to all you people, thanks for the dollar I made. Yeah.
Wow. Way to launder money there. That's excellent. I have been making fun of Delaware relentlessly recently just because I don't know anything about Delaware and I think it seems like a really boring place. But thus far, the beer I'm drinking, the Dogfish Head 75-minute IPA, has proven me wrong. Has a lot of words on the bottle, which is a beautiful bottle. But, it's quite tasty. Straight out of Milton, Delaware.
Hmm.
I like it.
And earlier we were talking about, what was that stuff called? That liquor?
Unterberg,
yes. And we don't have it here, but I just think it's kind of interesting to point out.
So the question was, why can something that is 44% alcohol be sold at a location that only sells beer?
And by law, can't sell liquor.
Right.
They're not
licensed. They don't
licensed
have, they don't
to,
have
right?
a liquor license. How does this happen? And what did we learn?
We learned that it is because it is in such a small volume.
Or
right?
At least that right? So this lady outside of beer mongers told
so
us.
So the lady who overheard
her.
Our conversation.
I really, she seemed solid.
She seemed like she knew what she was talking about?
I believe
her. All right. I tend not to believe just anybody. Like, just right off the bat, I tend to be more skeptical than...
And I'm overly trusting. So there we go.
I got a bridge I could sell you.
Oh, sounds great. Let's talk about it after.
Do we have a narrative bridge to the next topic? Could you tell me
speaking
one of those?
Of bridges. here's our segue. Breakfast on the Bridges,
oh,
where
I
ran I into
see what
you
last.
Did there.
Yeah.
Bam.
Funny thing, that was my introduction to bike fun. And at first, I have to admit, I was a little unimpressed. It was a frosty day. I showed up. I got there extra early, and it was a rare day in Portland where there was actually a little sheet of ice over a lot of the puddles, and people were freaked out.
Yeah.
I'd come from New England. I wasn't really aware that this was a big thing, like lightning that scares people here. So someone had just arrived for Breakfast on the Bridges, and they had and Breakfast on the Bridges, by the way, is when people serve breakfast to commuters on the last Friday of every month on Portland's bridges.
Every Friday during Pedalpalooza.
And every Friday during Pedalpalooza, right. So someone had showed up and they had the hot water for tea and they wanted to deal with these puddles, these icy spots. So they were pouring the boiling hot water all over the ice because it would melt it, right?
Right. Well, that's the theory.
So the resulting huge icy spot that was created, the next solution was to start plopping plastic bags all over it. And I have to admit, I almost gave up on bike fun at this point because I was like, this is more like bike incompetence. But then I realized that it takes all kinds and that this was actually a really fun group of people. And man, that was when Critical Mass was still on its last legs in Portland, and Breakfast on the Bridges and that group and all these other things really got me excited about not just bikes as a way to go around or a way to have exercise, but as just some kind of fun way to celebrate our city and our life and our health. And it was great.
Yeah, that's... Oh, you were about to say something?
No.
No, okay. That's kind of been my theory about bike fun in general. And even just biking lifestyle, if you want to introduce like that sort of change of lifestyle to somebody, just make it fun.
Right. You know? Don't make it about bikes, certainly.
Right, right. And you know, I get kind of militant from time to time about bikes and it takes me a while. I end up, you know, turning people off. I don't realize that I'm doing this, but it, like, you know, I'm shoving it down their throat. It's like, you must get a bike. But in the meantime, when you have things like Star Wars versus Star Trek riding around the city, people look at that and are like, this is bizarre and fun and cool. And
right. And bikes don't have a whole lot to do with it, even though it's all about bikes. It's like, oh, I love this costume or that costume. And secondarily, I'm using this tool to go out and party.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I like about bike fun is it's a tool for normalization of bikes. It's just a easy and fun and logical way to get around with your friends.
Yeah, I was actually bringing up Breakfast on the Bridges because that's where I ran into you last, and we sort of nailed down this spot.
The plan.
The plan here. But I noticed that day you rode off on a BMX bike.
It's true.
And, you know, we were talking about this earlier while we were having dinner, but I also want to get it on record here because... BMX. So, yeah. What's up with that?
Why? Okay. Well, two reasons. I wish I could say that the main reason is that, and this is true, riding this is a BMX cruiser that I have. It's an old JMC, and it feels like such a pure experience of bicycling to ride around on this single speed bike with big wide handlebars and big, huge pointy platform pedals, and you can hop things and play in the dirt, and it's geared pretty high so you can keep up with folks. I really love riding the bike, but the truth is I have a ton of bikes and they were all broken in some type of way. And I got down to the BMX bike and I was like, well, I guess I'm riding this to work.
So
what I did for,
so
a
when that
weeks,
one broke down, you decided, okay, I guess I'm going to have to fix these.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. So, yeah.
So I had this narrative in my head cause you know, I like to put pieces together that aren't necessarily there. That somehow your position is in the BTA required you to ride around in like a different form of at a different bicycle.
It's like part of our outreach.
Right, right, like, right. Exactly.
To identify with different bike cultures. I ride a triathlon bike sometimes. You know? Yeah.
Carl, it's time to get the aero bars out.
Yeah, exactly. We need you on a tall bike this week, Carl. Yeah.
I think they should start doing that.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a good plan.
As long as they're buying. Yeah, that sounds good.
That's right. We just created a job for the BTA.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had a weird dream last night that Dingo the Clown stole that bike. It's one of my favorite bikes. And Dingo the Clown is one of my favorite people. I don't know why he stole it.
Was
it's
he
really
the
upsetting.
MC at Bike Fair
at
this year?
The Bike
year?
Fair,
that
yeah.
was him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The legendary man himself and his partner, Olive.
I have
Oliver
only
Beard.
Seen him from afar.
Oh, wow.
So I'd never, like, I just saw this kind of strange-looking fella.
Bike Fun in Portland would not be what it is
without
Dingo. Yeah.
Right on.
And the Alberta Clown House. Yeah.
The Alberta Clown House. Yeah. See, these are things that I have never discovered, being a relative newbie to Portland.
Yeah, so there was this group of clowns that lived in one or two other places, but eventually settled most famously on Alberta Street in this house that had a nice big yard that was great for launching hot dogs at other clowns' faces and doing tall bike jousting and all sorts of other mayhem. And that really gave birth to last Thursday on Alberta turning into the sort of festival of fun that it is, and not just about art gallery openings. And some might say it's gone downhill, but
I was gonna get like on my sort of like old man soapbox,
yeah,
be like, well, last time I was there is a bunch of DJs outside of stores spinning their records.
But
with
Dingo,
their rock and roll music.
Dingo's vision, I mean, Dingo really made, and the rest of the Clown House folks really made bikes a really fun part of last Thursday. I remember first seeing my friend Tiago biking on a tall bike, and he had like a Windex bottle with a coat hanger wrapped around it, and the coat hanger stuck out in front of the spray nozzle, and he had a flaming rag on that, and then the bottle was just full of lamp oil.
Oh my gosh.
This is a like homemade flamethrower. Yeah. And they would just ride down Alberta just shooting flames everywhere. It was great.
Like all of the time or just on
all the time, 24/7. Yeah, they had shifts. No, just during last Thursday. And probably other times too.
Yeah. Why not?
Mm-hmm. What is your experience with bike fun, Lisa?
I have no experience with bike fun. I'm
have you ever
honest.
Had fun?
I have
on
had
a bike?
Lots of fun on bikes, yeah.
Boom.
Well, there it is. Look at that. I have tons of experience.
When was the last time you had fun on a bike?
Oh, gosh. Not too long ago. I'd say maybe a few days ago.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
I wish I had a really good story. I don't know. I mean, I have fun on bikes all the time. I'm a bike commuter. Sometimes I've found that it can be really hard to be a bike commuter and maintain that sense of fun. But I also have like a terrible fear of, I've shared this with Aaron before, that I have a terrible fear of
clowns.
Well, actually, that's totally true. That's super true.
Clowns
I watched the movie It when I was way too young and could not walk past.
How many people like I their know. Fear of clowns? How many people, you know, have it
too
rooted
many.
In that movie.
Tim right? Curry. Tim Curry. You ruined all of us. No, along with my fear of clowns, I also have this like real phobia of riding with groups and like riding with others. And so I tend to be really hesitant to like jump on those group rides and do those bigger things. And that was kind of my like bike resolution to myself this year was like, okay, you're a solid bike commuter. You've made that happen. Now start riding bikes with other people, please.
Yeah, that's interesting. So when I commute in the morning when it's rush hour, mm-hmm. it feels like I'm riding with a lot of other people,
that's
some
true.
Of whom are assholes.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's memorable because mm-hmm. that leaves an impression. But what is it about a group ride that gives you trepidation? What makes you concerned?
I don't know. I guess it's like... I mean, there are two people in my life who I have consistently been able to ride with separately. So riding with a partner, basically. And we've had our problems with like setting pace and just that communication. And I feel like there's so much that there's a lot of trust when you ride with other people. I mean, of course, that's how I feel. And I think there's a lot of, I guess, obviously when you're on the road, you're putting a lot of trust in the bikes and the cars that are around you.
Sure.
But
yeah.
When I think about the really big rides, I don't know. There's just a panic of like, maybe I won't ride fast enough. Maybe I'll have to ride too slow. I photographed a wedding that happened on bike last
what?
Year.
Whoa,
yeah.
Cool.
And so that was my experience of group riding. And, I just kind of put myself at the back cause it was like, I'm the photographer. I'll just sweep everyone. But that ended up being really hard because we'd set a really, really slow pace. And then I felt like I was going to just tip over. Like, you're just moving
well,
so slowly.
And you had all your camera equipment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had all my gear. And
ooh, yeah.
Yeah. So there was a lot. But I mean, and I think that for me, that was a good move towards, okay, Lisa, you can do this.
Well, and I think it's interesting to mention that you don't have a lot of reluctance, if any at all, riding with traffic. You ride with traffic all the time.
That's true.
With automobile traffic. Anyways.
Yeah. So group rides with cars.
Yeah, I love
your car friends get out and just kind of cruise around the city all the time.
Me and the automobiles, we just hang out all the time. Yeah, I know. Okay, it's not making a lot of sense.
Those friends are hard to talk to, though, because they always have their windows up.
They're like honking at me a lot. Yeah. I know.
They're just trying to talk to you.
Well, yeah, you're both really dismantling my logic around why I'm terrified of riding.
No, I'm not pointing that out as like this is a logical fallacy, right, and you should be ashamed, right, of yourself. I'm just
taking you down.
Thanks, Carl.
So here's what I want to hear. So next year's Pedalpalooza, and this is where I turn into the evangelical.
Oh.
What will your ride be? What ride will you lead?
Oh, will you lead?
Oh, shit.
Really? Okay, so what are your interests? What are you into? What kind of thing do you think you could share with other people? And bikes cannot be part of it. Don't talk about bikes.
Okay.
Granted, it's pretty warm here in the studio, but you're getting a little red in the face.
I am. Yeah. I got a little. what do I like?
Well, how about Aaron? I mean, we could get him thinking about
this
too.
Yeah, I've yet to lead a ride.
Yeah.
Oh,
Aaron.
Really?
No, I'm.
Well, yeah. Confession: yeah, I didn't lead a ride this year either. So we are
okay. Well, so now we all have to answer this question.
I know. What's it gonna be?
Check that out.
I've often fantasized about a number of different rides, and one I jokingly called like Aaron has a nervous breakdown ride.
Sounds delightful.
And it's based off of an actual ride I did where I went up Saltzman.
Uh-huh.
Did the whole trail, passed the Leif Erikson trail, got all the way up to Skyline.
Yeah.
And went down the wrong way from Skyline and totally got lost in the West Hills.
Oh no.
And what was supposed to be just a few hours, like, was my entire day.
Wow.
And it was like, you know, warm, kind of like this. Maybe not quite this hot, but not a cloud in the sky. I ran out of water pretty quickly.
Wow.
And it's just fields and a school. I think I passed a school at one point. I don't know what school. And I passed one other lady on a mountain bike.
There's a lady in a school.
I know that area pretty well. I had this sort of miniature nervous breakdown. And I hit this highway that I didn't recognize, and I can't bring up.
It's probably 26, right?
Might have been, yeah. But I saw a sign that said, to Beaverton Transit Center.
Oh, man.
So I thought, all right, fine, I'm going to Beaverton Transit Center then.
Wait, do you actually think people want to go on this ride?
Yeah, what?
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm
so we're all meant
person,
to have, yeah, we're no. all going to have a nervous breakdown,
right,
or we're
right.
going to all end up at the Beaverton Transit Center. Either way, it doesn't sound great.
Well, the idea is now you can.
I don't know. I think Aaron's setting you up to tell us about a great ride that sounds really
fun. Into my world here.
Right.
Yeah, and no matter what ride you come up with now, it's going to be better than this.
It's going to be a lot better than that. I'm going to lead the sexy baby ride.
But we have a dead baby bike club.
That is true.
Yeah. So sexy babies might really, you might have a brawl on your hands.
Yeah.
Sexy versus the dead. Oh no.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
So instantly when you asked me.
So wait, sexy baby. I really want to explore this here.
I don't know if that needs more explanation.
It doesn't. That's just. It is what it is, guys.
Maybe. Yeah. This will have to get cut out for the radio edit.
So wait, what am I talking about? Am I explaining what a
your
sexy
ride?
Oh, right. Well, instantly when you ask me what I'm into, I can't think of anything. It's going to sound really weird, but my gut reaction is to say old people.
Okay.
Which
I've led two rides led by 80 plus year old
people.
See,
that's what I want. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to lead it. I just want to be a part of it.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
So you're thinking like people.
I want to do like an arthritic
riding
ride.
With,
ooh,
riding.
Arthritic
so,
ride.
Yeah. So, okay.
Lillian
so.
Lillian Karabaic, are you listening? Okay, carry on.
Right.
I need to meet this person. Just too much information about me. I have arthritis in my hip, and I have since I was really young, and it's been...
Okay.
Yeah, there's that.
I just went on an awesome bike ride with a lady who had arthritis today, and we talked a lot about it.
She had arthritis today?
Just today. She expects it to be done tomorrow.
It's going
to
be gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
She's taking some NyQuil.
I think the arthritis ride.
I think, yeah.
So what happens on the arthritis ride?
I don't know. We just, all of us have arthritis, or we're like allies of people with our, wait, you know, or just people, allies of people
allies.
With, yeah,
okay.
You can just
can
be allies,
that.
But you know,
this,
I don't
this
know.
Reminds
like,
me of, I had this friend from, how I think she was like somewhere in San Diego, and she would often refer to herself as a black revolutionary ally, because she herself wasn't black, and so therefore she couldn't be a black revolutionary. Mm-hmm. But it was like inserted in the conversation as much as she could. So would you consider yourself, well, no, because you got arthritis.
No,
so,
like I am legit. You, I have actual,
you are an arthritis revolutionary.
I've got like, I have got pins and a major bar in my hip. Like I am.
Holy shit.
I'm serious.
For yeah. Card carrying
yeah.
member.
I am a card carrying member of the arthritis club. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have arthritis, so I have to be an arthritis revolutionary ally.
Just be an arthritis. I love that. I'm going to make t-shirts, man. That sounds great.
I think this ride sounds good. Do you know? So we'll talk about arthritis.
Yeah.
Is there any awareness that can be made? Fun stretches that can be done?
Yeah. I would love to. I would love someone to tell me fun stretches. I can really.
We did some fun stretches today on the ride that I went on.
Yeah. I mean, this person sounds like we can be good buds.
Oh, Deborah's so. Rad. Yeah.
Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
Deborah, if you're listening.
If you're listening.
Yeah.
Friendship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, like getting on a bike as a person with arthritis, I felt a major block about getting on a bike and doing okay. long rides and not trusting my body. And yeah, I don't know. I think we could do a ride that was like.
So I'm curious, with arthritis, does biking help or hurt that? Or how does that
yeah,
interact
how
with
is your
biking?
Relationship with the bike and
yeah.
arthritis?
I find it to be, in terms of exercise, in terms of other things, like I played volleyball growing up. That was literally like the worst thing I could do for my hip
huh.
of being a person with arthritis. Because like,
it's high impact?
Yeah, because you're just like pounding the shit out of your joints. Mm-hmm. So biking can be really great. I definitely, on longer rides, I can feel it on days that have that certain chill in the air. There are times when I'm like...
That's really a thing.
Oh, hell yeah. I can tell you when it's going to rain. I mean, like all of the time in Portland, but... but I know it's not much of a talent to be like, well, in the next week it's going to rain. Well, yeah, that's statistically proven. No, but yeah, I can like, I can feel it in my hip. I'm like, oh yeah, there's a chill coming.
Yeah.
There's some rain about to... head this way. So.
All right, that sounds like a pretty good ride.
Thank you.
I would go on that ride.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Much better than the sexy baby ride. All right.
Yep.
So where you're going to run into a car and be like, I don't know.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like just really distracted. Yeah, that's it.
And this was was based on an earlier conversation we had about you being in Germany and getting into a bike accident.
Yeah. And speaking like pretty fluent German, but realizing that my only way to get out of it was to be like, oh my God, I had like no idea what was happening just now. Like your car was there and I like hit it and I'm so sorry. I don't speak any German. And I just walked away. That's, yeah, power. Thank you. All right, Carl. So what's your ride?
Oh, man.
I mean, you have led rides in the past.
I've led a ton of rides, but...
What have been... Can you tell us what your favorites have been?
Well, I wanted to do... I wanted to complete a trio this year, and I failed. So the first two in the trio were... it was a trio of bike rides with people who are about 80. That's what I'm calling the trio.
Yes. I love this.
The first person was Walter Cole, who's better known as Darcel.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I am cat sitting a cat named Darcel named after Walter Cole. Yep.
Sweet. Yeah. So Walter Cole runs this female impersonators club. That's his preferred term for it. Where Walter turns into Darcel and has a whole host of other dancers and female impersonators who for longer than any other club in the United States has had this incredible drag show. And
have
what's
you been
interesting,
to it, by the way?
Oh, yeah. It's highly recommended.
Yeah.
It's really fun. And so he ran various other businesses around Portland for a while. He had a coffee shop that had supposedly the first espresso in Portland. He had an ice cream shop and he had two jazz clubs before starting Darcelle's, before buying this bar that became Darcelle's. And all of them were displaced by urban renewal. And so what we did is we got Darcelle to get all dressed up and she sat in a pedicab and everyone got in their craziest drag outfit. And Darcelle picked out all of the music to be played. We had a big sound system and like biked through the streets of Portland listening to Rhinestone Cowboy and, you know, all of her favorites. As we visited all these sites that had changed and she got out and talked about having operated these businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really fun because, you know, people came along who liked Darcelle, people were interested in Portland history, and, you know, bikes were just kind of the way to explore.
Sure.
Yeah.
And oh, that's so cool. And Portland, I mean, a lot of people who live in Portland are not necessarily from Portland. Mm-hmm. And so I think some of it's got its advantages, but some of the disadvantages of that is we lose a lot of that sense of history.
Yeah.
And so how great would that ride be to sort of give some of that back?
Wow. Right. And that's why I really want to hunt some of these folks down and get those stories told and appreciated. The year after that, I got Bud Clark, former mayor, to come along and lead a ride about art. And he worked with the Regional Arts and Culture Commission in town, RAC, to visit public art that he really liked and tell stories about it, because he's actually best known for this poster that was originally for a venereal disease campaign. but it turned out to be about art, where it was just Bud dressed kind of like a flasher. It's a shot of him from behind wearing a trench coat. Exposing himself to a nude bronze in downtown Portland, and it says expose yourself to art. So it was the expose yourself to art ride with Bud. And we went and visited
originally
that
supposed
sculpture.
To be about venereal disease?
I don't know. That's what Bud told me.
Okay. that's strange.
Yeah. So it has a really varied history. But yeah, we visited that sculpture and other sculptures that Bud really liked. Like when he was in high school, his fraternity, there were high school fraternities. Yeah.
Huh.
We used to clean the sculptures along the South Park blocks. And so he took us to see the George Washington statue that he used to climb up on and clean. So those are really interesting stories to learn about. And I was looking for a third octogenarian for this year, and I just didn't have the time to get it together. But my thought was I'd really like to get Ursula K. Le Guin to tell us about some of her favorite places.
I would so be on that ride.
Okay, can you explain?
I mean, Ursula Le Guin is, she's not from Portland originally, right? But she's lived here for
a long time.
She's lived here for a long time. And she's known, she's an author. She writes like science fiction, but with super, super social justice and feminist leanings.
Why am I not reading this lady?
She's awesome.
Oh, there's tons at the library where you live, in the house.
Oh, really?
That's where I read that. Yeah, they're all there. So just go in that. Yeah. But she's incredible. I want to meet her so badly.
Yeah, and she lives on Thurman Street.
Yep.
So I would love to get this tour of Thurman Street, because it's interesting to me that Thurman Street saw a lot of the early change that happened in Portland as people were really getting excited to move here in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the initial change happened there, where houses were torn down and these little like condos were built up. And it mirrors a lot of what's happening elsewhere in Portland. And so I would love to hear her story of Thurman Street and get folks out who are fans of hers. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to work with her to come up with a ride.
That's amazing. Yeah. I would love to see somebody talk about like the changes on Alberta and Albina and Mississippi. I think it would be awesome to have someone who could talk about the gentrification that's happened there. Yeah,
there was a gentrification ride this year.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. And I think 3 years ago, there was a really good African-American History of Portland ride that just sort of went from spot to spot and had different folks just sort of talk about their history with the area and the different businesses that used to be there, and the Kaiser Shipyards and the Cotton Club and these different spots around North and Northeast Portland that were important.
Oh, that's great.
Those history rides are really fun. It's funny, like Pedalpalooza and all this bike fun stuff is so often boiled down into like hundreds of people for Bowie versus Prince or the Naked Bike Ride or whatever. And there are these sleeper rides.
Yeah, they're so much more interesting and, in a way, more educational.
I mean, they're just different, but yeah.
And you were explaining, you know, bike fun not necessarily being about the bike, you know.
Ideally not.
It's.
I mean, there's like a French bike ride, and you ride around and talk about like how hard it is to find a stem to fit your Peugeot. That's like, oh, these bottom bracket standards are crazy, you know. But like, there's only so many people who are really into that, right?
This somewhat reminds me of the German bike ride I went on last
year. Oh yeah. The Deutsche Radfahrt ride or whatever.
Yes. It's. I think it's in its third year now. I didn't go this year.
Do you speak German?
I don't. And that was the funny thing was, so I had just,
this is the second time not speaking German has come up.
That's the theme of the night.
Yeah. Okay. Carry on.
We need to redo the intro and just say, and tonight, speaking German.
Perfect.
Yeah, I had just transitioned into a new like living arrangement, and a new like work, like a new position at my work where I knew I wasn't getting as much time off as I used to. And just sort of a way to, I don't know, console myself, I decided I'm going to go to every Pedalpalooza ride I can get on this year. and regardless of like, you know, what it applies to.
That's really ambitious.
I was free on Fridays and Saturdays that summer. And so just every ride that Friday and Saturday. And so my first Friday off, the first ride of that day was the Deutsche Radfahrt. And so
I rode to it.
I rode to it and like I asked somebody, like just ask someone like as an aside, like, do you have to speak German to ride here? And the guy was like,
"What?
Not really. no, he spoke to me in English. Okay. He's like, not really. You don't have to. But then the ride leader comes in, and that's all he spoke. And he's, like, asking people to introduce themselves, and at least that's what I get from the context. Because, you know, that's what people are responding with, and then it comes to my turn, and I'm like,
Hello.
I don't speak German. I'm just along for the ride. And later on, we all had a great laugh about it. But
and then you all drank a bunch of Unterberg.
We stopped at some German bakery just off Gleason. Okay. Fessen is the name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there was some German beers had there. I didn't have German beer. But, yeah, it was just a good laugh that we all had.
Yeah.
But anyways, getting back to sort of the octogenarian rides. You have some experience hanging out with people who've been in Portland like for generations.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I bet you'd have some great candidates.
Well, and you just finished, as of a year ago, you just finished a pretty good project putting together a zine telling these stories.
Yeah. So I've had the opportunity to volunteer down at the Marie Smith Center for the past couple of years, which is right on Albina, right before it turns into Mississippi.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a really awesome senior day center that's really diverse and has, like Aaron has said, a lot of people who, there are a lot of people who have been in Portland for years and years and can tell like stories about Vanport and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah. And then there are people who grew up in the South and came out, in the past 30 or 40 years. Mm-hmm. And my friends Nicole Georges and Mark Parker make a zine called Tell It Like It Is, which I've had the honor of working with them on. And
being on the cover.
Yeah. I don't like talking about that. It's really weird. Like they didn't run the cover by me, and then it was just like, oh, here's the book. Sure. And I was like, oh. That's me. And it's actually funny because it makes me, everyone else.
It's like a very young you, too. Yeah,
and everybody else on the cover is like a participant at the Marie Smith Center. So it makes me look like I'm a participant at the Marie Smith Center, which I'm totally, I blur that line.
You're looking good for 85.
I know. I blur that line big time. So I like to think of it as like my arthritis support group sometimes.
You all know when it's about to rain.
I know.
Right?
We talk about it all the time. But I will say, because I don't think there are many jokes out there about arthritis, but these women, they got one. And they sit around and they're like, God damn, Arthur. Arthur really got me today. Fucking Arthur. Like, they're just being, like, foul and talking. And I'm like, you guys, there's someone here named Arthur. You got to knock it off. And they, because this is the first time I heard them say it. And I was like, stop. Why do you hate Arthur so much? He's a nice gentleman. God. And they're like, arthritis. Oh. And they just think it's hilarious. So, yeah.
And like, they all know the punchline. They all see it coming. But oh, they all participate.
Oh, every time. Head. Yeah. And I mean, I've since, over the past 2 years, I've heard them say it like 13 times now. So I still play the fool. I still act surprised. And it gets me every time. It's a good one.
That's so cool. So, yeah, I mean, I would really love, I mean, I kind of do this thing where I try to turn everything into a bike something.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a day center like that and I think, man, it would be so much fun to just have a pedicab that came there,
yes,
like every Wednesday. And the deal is like, sign up and we will just like cruise you around Mississippi and or like over to whatever, we can go to the Bluffs or just like,
let's make that happen. That would be amazing. Yeah. And there's actually, there's one gentleman there in particular who, he's younger than most of the folks there, and he's still really like physically active, and he bikes all the time. There are staff members there who will go on like long bikes with him, long rides with him.
That's
great.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, as far as I know, he's probably the only person who's still really biking. Oh, and there is this guy who every time I see him and I like walk in with my gear and my helmet, and he doesn't remember me from time to time, but he'll be like, Hey, you, did you just ride your bike? And then he tells me these stories about like qualifying for, Tour de France, and like all of this stuff. And he's like, or have you ever heard of Calvin's 24-hour challenge? And I'm like, no. And he's like, that's me. I started that. And I'm like,
I'm Calvin.
All right, cool. All right. Like, he just has all these stories. So there are people there who definitely have like serious bike histories.
Yeah.
I would love to talk to the women about it, because I would imagine it was just like not super accessible for them. And most of the time when I come in with my gear, they're like, what are you doing? Why did you ride your bike here? And I'm like, it's how I get around.
So it's a day center. They are driven there, or catch buses, or
They usually are brought there either through, like the TriMet Lift program, or other bus systems. Yeah, or family members drop them off. There are a lot of family members there, so yeah, it's pretty cool.
Sweet, we are at around 45 here. You guys want to just take a quick break? I'll get some headlines some mail together.
Yeah.
Here. All right. So we'll be back in a minute. And we're back.
Hello.
So we took a short break. Carl, Lisa, how was Zine Prom?
We went to prom.
It was
King
amazing.
And queen. We're returning.
Did you guys get corsages?
Oh, they're gorgeous. Our parents will be so proud.
So proud.
No, that was one of the things they advertised on the site, was handmade paper corsages.
I did see them. They were lovely. We didn't.
There's a lot of tinfoil.
Yeah, they're making crowns. I think everyone's king and queen. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I know that we felt really special, Carl, but I think everyone got to be.
Don't crush this dream for me.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, we mentioned Zine Prom earlier. Seriously, what's going on? Because I spent the whole time
clear on what was going on either. But it was cool.
It seems like they're kind of just getting started. There was some music, and I know they do I think we saw that they were doing like a compilation zine, so you can
make a page
and see if it'll get in. So they have last year's here. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it, but
intriguing.
I hope to see it. I'll go back out there and look it up.
Will you contribute something to it?
Probably not. Probably not. No. Maybe a poem. I don't know. We'll see.
A what?
A poem.
A poem. Well, we'll do some mail.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
My bike, it's fast. It circles
can into the daylight pedal just as fast as we can into the nightlight pedal just as fast.
All right. So I think I have like the bass kind of boosted on my iPod here.
You're bumping.
It doesn't normally sound like that. I noticed this the last couple of times. It's like, wow, that bass is really coming through. All right. First off, from Tony Dice of Trackers Earth, I think they were once called Trackers Northwest, but now they are called Trackers Earth.
First the Northwest.
Now the world.
Yeah.
from Tony Dice via Facebook, he is just wanting to announce that there's a free lecture on subsistence hunting and foraging. And that'll be at their main campus at 4617 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue, Portland, Oregon, August 16th at 6:30 p.m.
Cool.
Yeah. So are you familiar with Trackers?
I knew them as Trackers Northwest, but really cool. Operating out of the watershed, doing all kinds of like urban foraging and making cool stuff out of simple things. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, we had them on. Gosh, yeah, it must have been last summer sometime. And he was sort of in the middle of working this model of, in a way, it's like live action role playing, but still like as an educational form of like, hey, you're out in the woods and now you gotta find your food.
And oh wow!
Yeah, yeah. And it's a complete immersion program. It's normally for younger, young people, kids. I don't know why that word escaped me just then.
Digging deep there.
Yeah. It was a real cool thing. It was really cool to hear him speak. So if you guys are curious about Trackers Earth, you can just look up Trackers Earth via Google. But we also have a interview with him. And here's a free lecture on August 16th. So if you're even curious about what they're about, you can check it out firsthand.
Nice.
Well, if you're in the Portland area anyways. next up, from Bike Portland via Byline, a local business is setting out to sell ads attached to each side of local bike commuters' front wheels. Have you heard about this at all, Carl?
I have.
Yeah. You have. A first of its kind in the nation, all hyphenated, business. Because it's basically for the bike commuters, the year-round riders. BikeCommuterAds.com founder Gary Corter said in an interview Tuesday. They've been riding green all this time for nothing, years, and we're trying to change that. Participants who must be at least 18 share their general territory and route with Corder and sign a contract promising that they commute to school or a full-time job by bicycle. Future advertisers will be able to select billboards that ride through whichever areas of the city they want to target. Riders have the right to refuse any ad and pay nothing other than taxes on any money that they receive. Corder is excited to be bringing this vision to market, though he laughs about reactions like one man he was trying to buy general business liability insurance from. He was looking at my website, and the agent, he goes, "I don't even know how to classify you," Corder says. "It's been a crazy road. I told my mom if this doesn't go in Portland, it doesn't go anywhere."
Interesting.
I wonder
what people in the Netherlands think of this. Like,
that would be, yeah, I think that would be a good sort of way to test the water for that. I'm of two minds about this, yeah. Honestly. Like, I wouldn't deny somebody their right or even need to be able to make a buck, as they need to. But then, you know, how far do we take it? And really, do I want to like turn my bicycle into a walking riding billboard?
I assume that's what the compensation is for. Like,
yeah, yeah.
To offset that, whatever discomfort that is. So.
You said that it's going to be local businesses?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, for example, I don't know, if I ride over or through Hawthorne and over the Hawthorne Bridge, I guess whatever businesses want to target that area, you know, that's who I would, if I were to sign up for that, that's who I would be advertising.
It's interesting.
Goes on the front wheels, though, so I couldn't sign up for it anyways, because that's where I carry my load.
Oh, right. Unicyclist, I was figuring.
What's that? Because I'm a unicyclist, yeah.
Who's to say what the front is?
There is neither front nor back.
Now, for Carl, who rides like 7 different bikes,
man,
what's going to happen there?
Advertising.
Yeah, there you go. You
cover a lot of ground.
Just dollar signs all over the place for you.
Yeah, you'd be making money.
I would have to ride them all at once to work.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't like it. I'm going to be honest.
That's great. I mean, you're taking that stand. I didn't feel comfortable going out on that lane myself,
right.
But I'm glad that you did.
Yeah, I'm an outsider, so it's, I can say that, right? I'm just a guest host. No, it seems...
Advertising-loving guest host.
Everyone loves a villain, right?
Right, I'm the villain. I don't know. I mean, I guess because it's local businesses, that's great, but I think you bring up a great point, Aaron. Like, where do we draw the line? And I don't know. It just feels weird.
Whatever. I don't care. Like, if businesses, even fucking huge businesses, want to pay people to put shit on their bikes, like, go for it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, and I mean, we can, as individual riders, we can all make our own decisions, too. Nobody's forcing me to put a...
Yeah.
This is also true.
So...
Yeah.
I mean, unless what they're putting on their bike, like, somehow gets in the way of me riding my bike.
Right.
Like, whatever.
What if it's, like, flashing and distracting? I mean, there's all sorts of things now.
I mean, if this model was really that successful, you would think that there would be more people who were being paid to put things on their cars, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Not to discredit this plan, but, I mean, there are a lot of cars around, and people don't seem to be paying to get that to happen.
There are some.
I'll play devil's advocate and say, but cars move faster.
Oh, okay. And bikes are sexy. We have to admit.
Bikes are sexy. Heck yeah, they are.
That is, nobody's going to deny that. Not in this room.
Lastly, also from Bike Portland, Portland Police Bureau Chief Reese takes a shift downtown on bike patrol. And I'll just read a short blurb out of this article. We link all of our articles on our site, so you guys can read the whole thing if you're so interested. I follow Chief Reese on Twitter, and this morning he mentioned he was out with bike officers today. Then after a few readers texted me his whereabouts, thanks Ryan and Dee, I rolled out to track him down. I ended up meeting him and Officer Todd Engstrom near the corner of Southwest 2nd and Burnside. And this was sent to me from Brock, actually, while he's out, on his adventures. Grabs this article, sends it to me with the heading of, hey, what do you think about getting the fuzz on the show?
Oh, absolutely. No, Mike would be good. I mean, there's a lot of officers I'd recommend talking to. Yeah, definitely.
Dude, we could do like a whole police bureau show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. I would be too intimidated.
I'll be your co-host for that.
I'm so intimidated by authority figures. Especially ones with badges and guns.
Having worked the naked bike ride and interacted with a lot of these people bare naked, like...
That's true.
I'm fine talking with them. I'd be happy to...
That's true. So in... this is probably totally redundant for you, but in years past, the naked bike ride has had to publish their route to the police bureau. No?
Oh, we've been in touch with the police bureau, but we've never made it public.
But with the police bureau. Sorry.
Yes. And ever since we've been in touch with the police bureau, we have published the route to them.
Right.
First time we did it, they put the route out, and they instantly regretted it.
Okay.
But anyway, Chief Reese and, Ty Engstrom and... Those folks would be fun to have on sometime to talk.
And do a whole bike cop episode.
Yeah.
Can totally. I ask a non-bike related cop question?
No. Okay.
The guest is giving the host shit.
No. So do all police chiefs have Twitter accounts now? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
I'm just curious. Like, I had no idea. I mean, I've never seen Twitter ever.
So. I could see it both ways. I could see it where it's just kind of a Portland thing where, you know, we're odd like that. We are kind of the odd ducks. But I could kind of see it where it's a way to kind of
like part of the humanization of police and community relations.
Yeah, what is it? But like, yeah, I'm curious what they post on there, you know, like.
Well, apparently he posted that he was out with bike officers.
Yeah, he posted
Chief Reese also has a band. The Usual Suspects.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's great. Oh, yeah. So he's probably tweeting all about his shows.
We're rocking out.
That's great. Well, I'm going to get a Twitter just for this. Mm-hmm. A Twitter?
That.
Account?
One of those?
One of those things.
Ah! I totally did not mean to do that.
That bow was good when you did.
Well, I guess then we'll do some mail. That music was composed by Brock Dittus, lyrics by Aaron Flores.
That's pretty good.
You should be really proud of Aaron.
I'm not. Well, actually, I my relationship to that song, it goes back and forth. Sometimes I'm really proud of it. Sometimes I'm very embarrassed that I did that. I had kombucha that day.
Oh.
That's Aaron's form of getting wasted.
I was so lit. Is that even the right word? Did I use it right? I don't think I did.
You were so superfooded.
I was so vinegared.
Natural antioxidant of this.
Firstly, from Glenn Kubish from Edmonton via Twitter, says to us, "Hey Sprocket Podcast, have you considered why traffic reports are all about cars? What if things were different?" And he sent us a little YouTube video link. Which I will post on our post there. It was cool. I'll describe it for you guys who haven't seen it here. It's a video that Glenn made of imagining his just one of his bike rides through traffic there in Edmonton with little titles of like, here's what I did while I was riding my bike, you know, as opposed to waiting in traffic.
Yeah.
I met this dog. I've met some friends. You know, got a snack.
That's awesome.
The dogs are especially cute and fluffy on today's commute.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah,
yeah. But it was cool. It's in a way, I'm already the converted. He's preaching to the converted, but it was still kind of neat to see that. Yeah, in a car, I don't get to hang out and talk to other people, whereas on a bike, that opportunity is much more available.
Yeah.
I really liked, for a while, Oregon Public Broadcasting's traffic reports were underwritten by River City Bikes.
Oh, really?
It was really great. No, so it would be this whole litany of all kinds of, you know, traffic disasters going on the way in. And it's like, and this is underwritten by
River City Bicycles.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And they
that's
had
so
some
clever
sort
of
like snide little tagline. It's like, you could be there by now if you were on a bike.
That's
great. Yeah.
Next, we got a new monthly donor. I tagged him at the end of the last couple episodes. But for those of you who caught that, Terra Firma is a new donor.
Woo!
Yay!
Thank you, Terra Firma. And actually, his real identity will be revealed in a couple episodes. He actually was a guest before he became a donor.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
So this isn't payola here. But anyways, thank you, Mr. Terra Firma. And lastly, also from Twitter, Tom Allen sent everybody, but I'm picking this up here too. Little thing saying, wanted one adventurous soul who could use a free touring bike and gear this summer. Parentheses, is that you? And links to details of a contest he's putting on, saying, I would like to give you my bike. For those of you who don't know, Tom Allen is somewhat famous, I guess, for the movie and book Janipar, about his adventures through West Asia, and riding through there and meeting a very special person in his life, and then kind of the dilemma of, like, do I continue on with this ride that I've proposed for myself, or do I stay here in, I can't remember where he met this person. But
so is he offering the bike?
It's not that journey bike. Oh, okay. It's a bike at the end of a journey he went through England with, where he spent a total of £0 exchanging work for places to stay and for food.
Wow.
And so that's the bike that he's giving.
So this bike might not find you true love, but you could potentially be very frugal.
Exactly.
Okay. That'll do.
Now, do you get to, it's just for the, you just keep it for the summer? Was that
no,
what it was?
He's giving you the bike.
Giving you the bike.
Yep.
Wow.
And details for that will be posted on our site there too. So
rad.
If you
wow.
are so curious,
that's awesome.
Feel free.
Okay,
to
what would your proposal be? Where would you go?
Well, I've thought about entering this, but I honestly can't think of, like, I don't know, where would I go?
Wow.
I guess I could do like a north to south along the west coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then either ride across from the south and then go from south to north on the east coast,
mm-hmm.
or just somehow find my way in whatever form, train, automobile or whatever, get over to the east coast. And either way, do a west to south and then a north to south and then a south to north.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd want maybe like toward Japan, I think. I don't know.
Oh, see, I was thinking too small.
I want to
change my answer.
Yeah.
I want to change my answer. I want to tour Japan now.
Okay, now I want to tour Mars. That's my plan.
That's the plan.
What do you think, Lisa?
Well, I have always wanted to do, like, from, yeah, north to south on the West Coast.
Mm.
Really?
So yeah. I'm boring like you, Aaron. Let's do it.
That
let's
is a pretty it. Rad trip, though.
Yeah.
Going through Big Sur is actually what made me decide I would like to do a West Coast tour eventually in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a pretty exciting opportunity for someone.
For anybody, yeah. Part of the details is, you know, you send him a story of what you would like to do as far as a frugal tour adventure. And I guess for the best one that he chooses, he will send him his bike and equipment that he rode on.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well.
Well.
Now we're all just kind of sitting here awkwardly. Should we just end this thing?
I don't know the format of this.
So, Lisa.
Yeah.
You agreed to do the outro?
I did.
But I have the music on my iPod.
All right.
So, and you're going to sing it, right?
If you want, you can use my microphone.
You could also just do the outro if you wanted.
But it would be so great if you did it.
Do it.
So what do you...
So...
I can
right,
give you like a
so
vision test.
Your
take options
are, you can stand up. You can take the microphone with you. You could borrow my microphone.
I think I can see it. Oh, God. I really should wear my glasses. This is why I don't have a driver's license.
You can scoot up and take his.
That's true.
Yeah. You want my microphone?
But then do I have to press play or something? Oh, just, like this. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics or guests. Write us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call and leave us a message or text to 503-847-9774. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Thanks to Hurt Bird for our headlines sounder. And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katrina Mellengard, Roger Grigsby, and Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, and Terra Firma.
Oh, so close.
Okay, so you're gonna. Can you hear me? Oh yeah. So you're gonna start it, and then I'm gonna read it while it's playing. Okay. Do I have to be really loud? Should I shout? Should I do a voice? Okay. No, I'm just gonna read it normally.
Sprocket Studios production.
All right, then. Well, hey, it's Brock.
And Adele.
And we are at the Apgar Campground in the group camp section.
In Middle Earth.
Glacier National Park. When last we updated, we were in Idaho. We were in Oregon.
Yeah,
at Hell's Canyon,
at Idaho.
And we were about to cross into Idaho the next day. We have, in fact, crossed into Idaho and into Montana since then.
Yeah.
We climbed out of Hell's Canyon, which was hellacious, but beautiful.
But not as wet as hell was supposed to be.
Hell was wet, but then we left hell and it got drier.
Hell got dry.
Yeah. The climb was hot and I sweat a lot and we cooled off in a stream, but then we got into Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Cambridge promised a bike path, and a bike path indeed was there. But the bike path was not paved. It was paved in Cambridge, but then a mile out of town or less, it became railroad ballast, which is not good for touring bikes with lots of weight on them.
So how long would you have kept going on that trail? Because after about 2 miles, I was like, fuck this, Brock. How long? I'm getting off this trail. You can keep going on this trail, but I'm going to take that road. You can take this trail as long as you want, brother. And you were like, well, I'll get off too. So,
see, if I had not had the voice of reason, I would have stayed on the path and found a place somewhere to sleep, and I would have cried myself to sleep there.
Yeah, we would have gotten about half the distance done that we ended up doing.
Railroad ballast is not good for standard touring bikes, which we have, and so we took US 95 North.
We did.
That was the day of my bonk. We got to Riggins, Idaho. And I was...
No, that was the next day. We got to council that day.
Oh, we got to council, that's
and
right.
And you were on fire at
I
the
guess.
Bar.
Yeah. Council, Idaho, tiny town, almost everything's for sale, including the bar that we had beers at.
Yeah.
But the bartender was very nice, and she told us we could sleep in the city park, and so we did.
We did. There were some loud patrons, and I didn't fall asleep till probably 1 or 2 in the morning.
Right, and I fell right asleep because I had like 5 Pabsts.
Yeah,
so,
that was a rough night.
Yeah. After that, we made it to Riggins.
Were you bonked?
Where I bonked. This
it was hot.
This was only after, was that Whitebird Hill?
No, it was
no,
before.
Okay, my timeline's all out of
In
whack.
In fact, ironically, you bonked on a day that we had 30 miles of downhill. So I kind of was a
Into
little
a
flabbergasted.
Headwind. Yeah.
But it was exhausting because it was like pedaling downhill, so you were like mentally exhausting yourself because... Or at least I was, because I was saying to myself, I know I'm going downhill, but this wind is so fucking hard, and I'm still pedaling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm pedaling, and then I just made myself mad, which is exhausting
right.
to your brain.
Right.
So by the time we'd pedaled 30 miles downhill, we were both pretty tired when we got into Riggins.
Okay.
Which, if you've been to Maupin, Oregon, everyone's been there, clearly. It's very similar. It's like this whitewater rafting hub.
Except Maupin is like a squiggly line on the map, and yeah. Riggins is a straight line, so there's just like several miles of town on this long straight stretch. We found Bureau of Land Management yeah. runs a wonderful river access site where
yeah,
we camped for
free.
Yeah, up
the Salmon River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's probably one of my favorite spots of the whole tour so far.
It was absolutely beautiful.
It was amazing.
I was too tired to enjoy most of the evening, but...
And it was so windy.
But I was glad to be there. The wind
was
intense.
I don't think our tent has ever been in that windy of a condition. I, like, actually videoed the wind because I knew I'd want to see it later, just how strong it was.
We
so
nearly blew away.
I videotaped, or it's not really video... On my iPod, I cameraed the wind blowing our tent around with you inside it.
There is video evidence of
Thanks
wind.
Thanks for holding the tent down, Brock.
I'm glad it worked out.
Inside.
Yeah. And then we camped next to an elk farm. So that
we
was
did.
Pretty fantastic. I had never seen farmed elk before.
It was sad. They had no grass to eat. They were just, like, nibbling at dirt.
Some of them did. Some of them did not.
I wonder who that farmer was. I feel like he was irresponsible.
We should talk to him.
Yeah.
Whitebird Hill was the next day, which was 2,900 feet of climbing in direct sunlight in desert conditions.
No water. This is not following a stream or a river, which you can always kind of dip into when you get too hot, but this was totally relentless.
Yes. But we made it.
Yeah. And it actually overlooked like one of the first sites of the U.S. Army and Nez Perce altercations.
Right, which is sad. But there it happened.
That kind of triggered their flight through Yellowstone and up to the Canadian border.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting that that was kind of a piece of that history. But we made it to the top of Whitebird, quote, hill.
Hill.
Unquote.
It's a mountain.
Yes.
It's a pass. Down to Grangeville.
Yeah.
Past that, we descended into a valley by a river. I had the distinction of running faster than a semi-truck that had passed us,
mm-hmm.
and I was stuck behind it, but he pulled over and let us all go by.
Yeah.
We camped along the Locksaw, the Clearwater, that night.
Yeah, it was the Clearwater.
Clearwater.
Then, because it had merged with the Selway River, and it was
yes.
huge. It was this huge river. So we camped on some national forest property.
Tons of free dispersed
to,
camping
like,
there.
Like someone in that site had put up a skull and like three large feathers at the foot of a tree in some like shaman-esque ritual configuration. So I was like preparing to be creeped out, but I wasn't at all. It was kind of just interesting.
Nothing bad happened to us.
If you ever find that camp spot, look for the skull and the three feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it doesn't exist. But we were there.
Yes, climbed to Locksaw Lodge and camped there for free the next day. It's a beautiful spot.
Yeah. Idaho's very rugged.
Yes.
That was the lesson. We spent 5 days in Idaho, which
we did.
Far more than I ever thought we would bike
mm-hmm.
in this state. Five rugged days of busy highways with narrow shoulders, but beautiful scenery.
It's amazing.
We still continue to eat Idaho and mashed potatoes.
That's right. Idahoan. They're not our tourist sponsor, but they should be.
Next time.
Yeah, we made it to Missoula, stayed with Aaron's brother and his family. They were wonderfully kind to us.
Yeah.
Also met up with our friends Jeff and Karen, who are road tripping through Montana, and we had beers with them there in Missoula.
Yeah.
Missoula's a great town.
Aaron's brother still lives at the top of the biggest hill.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
And so that was rough to get up to after a trip to a brewery. But we made it, and they rewarded us with a delicious dinner.
They're good people.
And board games.
Yeah. And laundry.
And laundry.
That was nice.
Yeah.
And we were clean.
And a newly finished basement.
Yeah, yeah. After the flood
of
2014.
Yeah.
We are still in Montana. We made our way through
parts.
Yes.
To where we thought we might not get to. Glacier! Okay, but you were going to say how we get to Glacier.
Oh, sure. Well, we came up the less traveled Montana 83 highway, stayed with our friends Jeff and Karen again, where Karen's parents live. Then on the 4th of July, we stayed next to Swan Lake. There were fireworks, and they went boom. And
Swan
then
Lake.
The next
beautiful
day.
Beautiful name.
Yes.
Mm.
Next day, we made it to Glacier. Here we are. There is shuttle service here, which is not common in national parks, but should be. You get on
a free
bus,
service.
And it takes you all over the park. And the question was asked on Twitter, I think by Tim, that said, are you going to bike the Going to the Sun Road? And we unequivocally
say no.
Because it's steep, and we've done a lot of steep things already.
We've already done harder than that. We don't need to prove anything to you.
Yes,
to
we took
ourselves.
A day off of bicycles just to, like, walk. And we did. Mm-hmm. We saw beautiful things.
So great. We had energy to hike up to Avalanche Lake and Hidden Lake. Both of which are just spectacular.
Yeah.
And you can't see from a bicycle.
Adele just saw the sunset over McDonald Lake.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And from here, we take another rest day and then we head back towards Idaho and Washington. Thanks for following our trip. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Adieu.
Thank you. Goodbye. I didn't get to talk about having saddle sores.
Do you want to?
No, I did.